AIDS on here. Okay, speak a statement. Hello. Hi, family. I'm a grateful recovering addict named Shirley. Speak a statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid the situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Well, all right. I know we did a moment of silence when we first came in, but let's have another moment of silence while I ask the God of my understanding to come in and deliver the part of the message to you that he would have you to have. Well, all right. All right. I'm still a grateful recovering addict named Shirley. And the title of this workshop is The Language of Empathy. And as I was thinking about this topic, what came to my mind was my story. My story. And my story may resemble your story, but it is my story. And that's the only thing that I can share with you is my story. Okay, so, you know, if you hear some resemblances, it's all right. If you hear something you don't like, it's all right, because it's my story. Okay, all right, just thought we'd get that out the way. You know, the language of empathy means to me the language of love, plain and simple, empathy. Because if I love you, I'm going to be able to place myself in your shoes and feel and understand and be able to relate to what you have been through. It's a lot different than showing you sympathy. See, sympathy means I feel sorry for you, or I'm saddened about your condition. It's not as if it's a personal kind of thing that I walked in your shoes. So a little bit of background on how I came to arrive at this point where I have, I believe, an understanding of what empathy is. You see, when I was out getting high, I don't recall anybody having any empathy. I recall a lot of sympathy. You know, folks that used to know me and said, that's Alma Pearl's daughter. You know, down there in Hampton, Virginia, they call you by both names. You know, that's Alma Pearl's daughter. Look at her. And so because of the disease of addiction that I suffer from, you know, I would rationalize and justify my outrageous behavior. You know, I would sneak up on the mirror, because when I passed it and happened to catch a glimpse of that person in the mirror, I didn't recognize that person. See, that person had a face that was sunk in. Every bone in the body was showing. And I still was telling myself, when I wasn't looking in that mirror, that I was fine and there was nothing wrong with me. That everybody else had the problem, down from whoever that husband, the current husband, might have been at that time. you know, or to my boss or to my friends. Everybody else had a problem except me. And so I would continue on that path doing what I was doing, because as I was talking with another recovering addict the other day, I've come to understand that I like adventure. I like taking risks, you know. Now I take more calculated risk than I did then. But I like living on the edge. It was exciting. I did not want to be associated with the squares. You know, the ones that had the pocket protector with the pens and everything, the so-called geeks. See, I wanted to be a good student, but I also wanted to walk on the wild side. You know what I'm talking about? So anyway, what happened was I continued to walk on the wild side until I went all the way over to the wild side, and it was no longer walking on the edge, it was over the cliff. And I remember after a while of looking around and wondering how a nice girl like me ended up in a place like this. And I remember that in the end, it was no longer fun. It was pain. It was ugly. There was no self-respect. And I always thought I had a lot of self-esteem. There was none of that. There was a lot of shame. There was a lot of guilt. And at times, most of the time, there was a lot of humiliation. Because I've heard speakers talk about how we used to be talked to. I can relate. Folks would tell me, sit down. I'll be with you in a moment. 14, 16, 18 hours, 24 hours later, I might still be sitting there waiting for them to get to me. Nobody knew your right name. It was, hey, you or some other thing that they might call you, that your mama did not name you. Anything but who you were. And I remember setting. You know, I did the thing, too, with the loaning the car out, the gold, all this, hooking up with folks, you know, that I thought was worse than me. I know don't nobody else be able to relate to that, but, you know, we're sitting up there doing our thing, and I'm like, I sure am glad I ain't like you. As soon as they back turn, I'm, you know, looking down on the rug, peeping at the closet, looking out the window, all kinds of, oh, all right, you know, doing some crazy stuff. And then I remember, even when I was using and hanging around the folks that was just like me, I remember having, in this one particular relationship, because relationships are a part of my story. And they're a part of my story today, just different kinds of relationships. But these relationships were, you know, folks that needed half, needed a partner in crime, needed somebody to help them come up with the master plan on how to use and keep using and all this other kind of nonsense. And I remember that this particular partner in crime, every time they would get high, they run in the bedroom, and I still had a few pieces of article of clothing that, you know, was kind of nice. And they run in there and take the hot stuff and hide it up in the closet where my clothes were. And this happened one time, and I said, You know, I said a whole bunch of other stuff then, because, you know, profanity is a part of my story. But we'll get to that as we talk about the language of empathy. And I said, you need to get out of here with your crazy crack smoker self. You know what I'm talking about. But as I continued to decline and to get high was no longer fun, and it was no longer even getting high. And I remember having that out-of-body experience that I speak about, because I truly believe that that was God of my understanding showing me that I was very close to death, very close to dying. And was giving me opportunity to make a decision. Did I want to keep on doing like I was doing? And like the literature says, we're going to end up in jails, institutions, or death. Or did I want to do something different? And as I was sitting there, you know, and I used to pop them things called Advil. Because I would try to recapture that elusive high. And by this time, you know, with not having any weight or anything, I could see this vein throbbing. Just starving, you know, and I did that prayer, God, please don't let me die. But I was sitting up, you know, floating up there, looking down on myself, and I was in this house. And I had my get high partner with me, And as we're sitting there, you know, and I'm up there floating around, I'm looking down, and I'm like, how did a nice girl like me end up in a place like this with people like this that I don't have nothing in common with? All right, did my out-of-body experience. I said at that time, Lord, if you just let me get out of here, this is God of my understanding, if you just let me get out of here, you won't have no more trouble out of me. Y'all, I had $10 left. I came on back down, reunited with my body, told my grandpa partner I'm ready to go. As we walked out the door, you know, I said I had $10. And there was some youngins on the corner. And that $10, and somebody did that workshop that says, your disease doesn't ask permission. The disease said, hey, you got that $10. You might as well, you know, I know what you said to God, but you might as well go ahead. You know, this is your last time. Get that $10, right? So I tried to get that $10 away, and the youngin said, no, girl, you need to go on home, lay down somewhere. We're not selling you nothing. From that point on, I crawled to a girlfriend's house, because I don't know about anybody else, but my story was such that I didn't come out in the daytime. I came out at night. A creature of the night. Vampire, yes. And another thing, I didn't want anybody that knew me to see me. Because, see, by this time, I had to put on 3 pairs of pants in order to kind of have a little, just a little bit of weight, and for people not to be talking about how bad I look. So I came out under cover of darkness and slid back in as the light was coming on. But on this last night, as I crawled to my girlfriend's house and she allowed me to stay there, I tossed and I turned. And when I woke up from that tossing and turning, that nightmare, I went back to the place where I was staying, because by this time, you know, the home was gone, the husband of that time was gone, and even my two lovely daughters, I had to let them stay with somebody else because I couldn't do it. And I had never in my entire life not been what I thought was a productive member of society. But here I was. And so I had gone to a room, something like this, and that woman right there, my sponsor, was up there sharing. And I don't know, other than it was the God of my understanding still looking out for my behalf, said, get the phone number. Had no intention of using no phone number. But I said, okay, I'll get the phone number. I got the phone number. And that was a whole bunch of months before this incident, and I called her. And I had moved to a whole bunch of various places, but still the God of my understanding didn't allow me to lose that phone number. So I called her, and, you know, by my God's will for me, that was 13 years ago. 13 years ago. Wow. By the grace. And so, you know, the language of love reminds me that, or the language of empathy, which I choose to call love, reminds me that, you know, when we were out there doing what we were doing, I know I did some crazy things. I said some crazy things. I acted in some crazy ways. And even when I started getting a little clean time, you know, I still had some insane behavior. It wasn't until, as my sponsor said, you so intellectual, I need to hurry up and get you on some steps to writing some stuff with a quickness, that I started getting to the exact nature of some things and understanding some things. You know, the language of empathy is not about gossiping. It's not about talking about your fellow recovering addict because when they roll up in here, maybe they came in like I did with a black eye and half my hair pulled out and, you know, some jeans that I had on for a long time and some tennis shoes that was talking back to me when I walked and hat turned around backwards because half the hair was gone, you know. But folks down home, they knew me. They said, come on in. We're going to love you till you learn to love yourself. You know, that was the language of empathy. They were hugging me. They were embracing me. They were welcoming me. my shame, they were saying, look, hey, come on, we feel you, we understand. The language of empathy is when I ain't had no money. You know, I ain't had no money. I had one of them cars where if you sat in the front seat and you had to lay back in the back and drive it. Was that they said, you hungry? We going to the Pizza Hut. Come on. They feed you. They didn't ask you to put in. Not like my other partners. You know, they want to know you got half. They ain't want no half. They're like, look, come on, we going to eat. You going to eat. That's the language of love. That's the language that we, who've been here a few 24 hours, are supposed to be showing the newcomer. We're supposed to be running up to them with a quickness, embracing them, hugging them, loving them. Because, see, they already feel bad enough about stealing their mama money. You know, about stealing that credit card. I heard somebody share earlier about low crawling to the wife's pocketbook. You know, they already feel bad enough about the Christmas that the babies were supposed to have. But because that disease said, no, you got to get on. Even the Christmas tree was gone. See, the language of empathy says, listen, don't get in here and get a few 24 hours and get clean and think you have arrived, that you're so righteous, you know, you're so self-righteous that you don't remember some of that crusty, grimy, dick-dastardly stuff that you used to do. All right? The language of empathy says, don't get so heavenly bound that you ain't no earthly good. Now, I just want to be real with you. Can I be real for a minute? I want to just get a little bit more real with you about the language of empathy. It's not about, though, not speaking up. All right? See, because if I love you, I love you enough not to let you die. See, the language of empathy, the language of love means when you ask me to sponsor you, you saw something in me that you were attracted to. I ain't ran down nobody and asked them, can I sponsor you? Because I got a life today. I want you to understand. My God and N.A. gave me a life. But when you ask that question, that means we got a responsibility to each other. That does not mean that you just call me when your boo done acted up. That's what my sponsor told me. You know? It don't mean that you pick up that phone because something is not going right or somebody made you mad. That's not what it means. What it means is that we got some 12 steps. And it requires work. It requires work. Nobody wants to sit down and write on the 12 steps. Nobody. I don't. But my sponsor says, listen, I signed on to guide you through the steps to save your life. I ain't signed on to be your friend. If by chance we develop a friendship, all right. You got a choice to make today. We can be friends and sponsors, or we can be sponsors and leave the friends alone. You know? The job is sponsorship. It's guiding you through the steps to save your life. Empathy to me means that I'm going to share with you my experience on how I got through whatever it is. It doesn't mean that I'm going to let you do all the talking. You know, it means I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to let you know that I've experienced that. I'm going to let you know that I understand that it hurts. I'm going to let you know that, yeah, it's going to take some time. Give time some time. I'm going to let you know that sitting by yourself, when they tell you to sit by yourself, doesn't mean that you sit by yourself over here and when you go to the next meeting, you sitting with somebody else's self. It don't mean that. It means when you say you're going to sit by yourself, that you're going to do some work on yourself. You're going to sit there because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. You go down the same street, you're going to end up at the same location. It's not rocket science. You want something different? Do something different. You know, this program has afforded me a lot in the way of relationships. A lot. I've met some wonderful, beautiful men and women in this fellowship. And my sisters helped me recover. And my brothers help me recover if I listen to what they're saying. See, my girlfriends, especially one in particular. She says, "We teach people how to treat us." She knows who she is. So we teach people how to treat us. And that is so true. If we continue to go for anything and allow people to tell us anything, that's what we're going to get. Anything. And if you don't already know where you're going for yourself, any road will get you there. It won't matter. You know, when we come in here being all beat up and bruised by the world, thank God for this spiritual program that gives us some good orderly direction. Thank God for having sponsors who they're not ashamed to do the work. You know, we got some history lessons going on. See, now, if you don't think you had the best sponsor in the world, you need to get you another sponsor. Because I got the best sponsor in the world. It's real simple. And she keep it real. Now, most everybody that know me know that I have a thing with profanity. Okay? But let me say this. It's not because I'm trying to tell you how to live your life. What I'm asking you to do is to help me stay on the path that I've chosen. See, because I've been around profanity, I started off saying, listen, hey, my mouth used to be one of them open sewers. And that F word, it just did everything that I wanted to do. Everything. It was used if I felt good, if I felt bad, sad. It didn't matter, that F word, you know. And what I know is that if I keep hanging around people that is doing that kind of behavior, it'll rub off on me because I ain't immune and I ain't perfect. I don't even want to be perfect because then that might mean I got some wings and I ain't down here. You understand what I'm saying? But what I want to do is I want to get better. When people see me, I want them to say, you know what? I like what I see in her. She got a kind of glow about her. She got a little smile about her. And I don't hear her saying those kinds of things. That's what I want. But if somebody else wants other things, that's what they want. And it's all right. Because, see, empathy means loving you right where you at. Right where you at. In spite of. And sharing with you how the process worked for me. Because I know that the God of my understanding don't love me no better than he loves anybody else trying to do this recovery thing. So if you see the sister with the two young clothes on, you know, it might be a little tight in your opinion. Might be a little short. Brother might have a little teeth on. You know what I'm saying? They're just doing them for right there. But they say that this program works by attraction, right? Ain't that what it say? Work by attraction, not by promotion. So if they see you walking the walk, not just talking the talk, then it's going to catch on. It's going to catch on. It's going to catch on. Because this is a spiritual program built on spiritual principles. The language of empathy is love. Love somebody just like you want to be loved. Speak to them just like you want to be spoken to. Treat them better than the way you want to be treated. And when we do those kinds of things, we are speaking the language of empathy. It ain't gossip. It ain't putting nobody down. It ain't looking down on nobody unless you're looking down to pick them up. Then that's okay. It ain't about spreading their business out in the street. If somebody tells you something, that's for you. Keep it to yourself. Because if they want Joe and Susie and John and Jill and Jack and them to know, they will tell them themselves. Keep the focus on yourself. If you spend that 6 months minding your own business and the other six leaving everybody else's business alone, that make a whole 12 months, don't it? You ain't had no time to mess with nobody else's stuff. Right? You know, it's amazing about how this program works. One addict helping another. Therapeutic value. If you want chaos, it's some chaotic addicts around. You can find that. Ain't no problem. If you want peace, it's some peaceful addicts around. If you want some spiritual principles, it's some spiritual addicts around. Whatever you want, Narcotics Anonymous will afford you everything that you want. And when you get tired of one set, make a decision, move over to the other group. You know? And it don't cost you nothing. It don't cost you nothing. This program is beautiful. 12 steps and 12 traditions. But you got to do some work. Yesterday's recovery, it was good for yesterday. You need some today recovery. All right? You need some today recovery. Some right now recovery. Right now. And then, if the God of your understanding allows you to see tomorrow, you're going to need some tomorrow recovery. Okay? One day at a time. So, I guess, you know, I haven't seen no sign or nothing. Is you putting it, is it mine? Okay, thank you. I was like, hey. Woo! Attention. Okay, all right. Well, to wrap it up, the language of empathy is the language of love. It's real simple. Love, love, love. Love the person until they can love themselves. Love yourself. Love yourself. Respect yourself. Especially us women. Especially us women. Because I can speak on the women's side. It's probably important for the men too. I ain't a man, so I don't know. But for the women, respect yourself. You know, my mama used to say, why buy the cow? We didn't get the milk free. It was only after having been to a few dairies that message started sinking in. I told you I was going to keep it real. I ain't no saint. I had the same wants and desires that everybody else has. I've been called a few things, but all of them was good because it was that person's opinion. The only thing that I want to be is what my God intended me to be. I want to be the best that my God intended me to be. I believe that he intended for me to be the Nubian queen that I am. Today, I am somebody. I am worthy. And I love and treat people the same way that I want them to treat me. In my opinion, you are all kings and queens. That's the language of empathy. I'm still an addict named Shirley, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Shirley, for your message. And now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, AZ. Yes, you have to read the statement.
Good afternoon, family. My name is AZ. I'm definitely blessed for coming at it. The speaker statement. An NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working to live in an NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, my name is AZ. I'm definitely blessed with coming at it. And, we drove from a long distance as well, right? We're from New York. All right, first things first, I need to thank the God of my understanding for the gift in the moment and allowing to be in the concert. Now, I mean, for that, I'm truly grateful. And the gift is that, like, by his grace and mercy, I was allowed to live a second life in one lifetime. And, you know, in the moment, it's like she was just sharing about all I got is right now. Yesterday is a history and tomorrow is a mystery, right? And I got my weapons with me too, right? I need to bring this with me. Like, I truly believe in the literature, right? Because when I got here, I had the I knows. I didn't pick up the literature like it, so I got a lot of misinformed information. So I share with you like my sponsor shared with me. The only misinformation you can get is the information that you don't read yourself. You know, like I'm going to share, hopefully, like by the God of my understanding, like may he share through me to deliver a clear, narcotic, anonymous message, right? Because I have an understanding of empathy only by a direct result of working the 12-step and 12th edition, because I knew nothing of empathy before. Like my empathy before was like, I remember coming to recovery and not doing no works and got a phone call from my mother because she lives in the projects, and she said the dudes was in the hallway smoking weed, being disrespectful and so forth and so on. And to me, like, the only thing I knew they understood was that language. And like, now I'm in recovery and like, I don't live like that no more with the guns and stuff like that, but like, my empathy then was like, this is what they understand. So like, you was talking about the profanity. So like, in my head, I was already confused. Like, okay, I'm going to go there. You know what I mean? Like, this, I know how I was going to have to confront them. You know, and like in the literature, it talks about how this program is built on empathy. You know, because like in 1953, it was a group of addicts that went to the other fellowship, right? And like, alcohol is a drug, but it was too minimal for addicts like us. Right? Let me go to literature for that. I want to get it right. Right? And it talks about like the identification was at the level of apparent symptoms and not at a deeper level of emotions, feelings, where empathy becomes a healing therapy for all addicted people. Where they're like, it had to be something more that we needed. We're talking about a wordless language, right? Like, it's a heartfelt language where they're like, I don't have to really so much have walk your path. But when you share from the floor, wherever you share from, I can feel your pain. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when they called me for this topic, somebody like put my name into the internet. Like, you know, I thought it was something else. Somebody called me and they said, like, we want you to come share. And I'm just like, yeah. And I'm like, who's this? You know? And they said, they started asking me some questions, like what I think about recovery, so forth and so on. I need to share also, like, I got 3,922 days clean today. And it's like, They told me that when I got here. I ain't know how many days it was, but like, it's equivalent to 10 years, 8 months, and 26 days. You know, that's what they gave me downstairs, right? And the reason why I share that as well, because like, that's the only thing I got right in this program, right? Because I got 12-step experience, 12 traditions, I got some concepts under my belt. But what my sponsor told me was like, if you don't learn nothing else, you better learn that staying away from the first one. Like, if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. Because, like, if you learn anything about a third step, if you did the step work, you know God allowed you to take your will back, right? We don't just relapse on drugs, right? We relapse on other things, right? So, like, just let you know, that right there, like, I'm scared to death of that. You know, but, and what happened was, she told me about the language of empathy, and I said, damn, like, what do I really know about that? And, like, me, myself, like, thank God for recovery. Like, I went back and educated myself, so I said, I'm getting on the computer. I'm going to find some things out. Right, because like I remember I got here and I thought fear meant, right, like when you watch a movie and you get scared, right? My sponsor told me to get a dictionary because like my degrees was not going to help me with the disease of addiction, right? So like I looked up the word fear and it said that it's an anxiety that, right, it either could paralyze you or it can make you confront something. And like, and those are two things that happens, right? And I looked up the word language and it was talking about a system of words used in a particular discipline. They had another meaning. It says, the mental faculty or power of vocal communication. And then Narcotics Anonymous got a better meaning for it, though. Because it talks about empathy, right? It's talking about understanding and entering into another's feelings. And I said, shit, we are deep, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the only place I know you go, you surrender, and you win. Right? I mean, like this is a paradox program. When you stay here long enough, you know, things you think mean something, it just really don't mean that. You know what I mean? Because I'm talking about, I remember talking about like when the pain outweighed the pleasure. And I'm saying like, shit, what's pleasure about pain? And come to find out, when the pain outweighed the pain, you'll do something different. She spoke about that. You want something different, you do something different, right? Like, I don't believe, like, you know what I'm saying, staying stuck in the problem anymore. Thank you for sharing that about sponsees, man. Like, because word, sometimes I think I'm a garbage pail or something like that. And like, I had to set a spiritual boundary. Like I empathize with you, but I just don't want to stay in the same place, right? And like, inside, let me show you. Okay, my homework was, right? Like, the homework I did, I found out that empathy is mentioned 8 times in the basic text, 6 times in the works how and why, and 4 different selections inside just for today, right? And on November 19th, it talks about the language of empathy, right? The addict will find from the start as much identification as needed to convince himself that he could stay clean. By the example of others who have recovered for many years. And she was talking about that. That newcomer that walked through the door was that, like, if you got a home group, right? Your empathy in you, you're supposed to know that person. That person, you know how we scared to death when we first come in. The empathy in you is supposed to go to that person and offer your number to that person. Because you know, they say make 90 meetings in 90 days and get a number each meeting. But picture that. I don't know. No, I'm scared to death when I got here because, like, growing up, I found out that, like, you don't ask another man for help. So, like, it took me a minute before I can do that. So now today, like, when I see a new coming, it ain't even got to be my home group. When I just hear them say, like, if you're new, you're coming back for the first time, even if it's not my group and I'm just visiting the group, I turn around and see who that person is. And I go, they say the hug can make all the world of a difference, man. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I do, you know what I'm saying? Like, because empathy has allowed me to, like, to feel another individual's pain, man. Because, like, where I come from, it's crazy now because I know back in the days, you knew a newcomer when you seen one. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, it's hard to tell a newcomer from the old timer. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, like, you know what I'm saying? We come in here with some things now. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line, we're shaky inside. You know what I'm saying? So that person is not, you know, usually it's the person that's sitting in the back. You know what I'm saying? And empathy tells me, like, yo, I got to go reach out to this person, man. And let's get some more literature here. Right? And then it goes to say, right, that it's a wordless language of recognition, belief, and faith, which we call empathy. Created the atmosphere in which we could feel time, touch reality, and recognize spiritual values long lost to many of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, because during active addiction, we already know, like, the spirit is the first thing to leave. You know what I'm saying? And then we become rock bottom and all that, right? But when we get back here, right, we get back here with some things, right? We talking about suffering from the disease of addiction, right, which affected every area of our lives, right? So I know when I got here, I had an education, I had a degree, I had some clothes, but I was spiritually bankrupt. And it's talking about only through working the 12 steps you can find it. It says empathy is essential to work this program. You know what essential is? That's it. It's needed. You know what I'm saying? It's a must. You know what I'm saying? Some literature we're talking about, like, it bothers me when I hear stuff said that's not in our literature. We're talking about there's no must inside Narcotics Anonymous. There are a lot of musts, man. You need to know that. We must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. That's, you know what I'm saying? Unity is a must. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm sharing is the fact that, like, the bottom line, like, you got to do some 12-step work to find empathy, man. Because, like, if it's a heartfelt thing, right? We're talking about not intellectualizing it. We're talking about spiritualizing it. And it's only by a direct result of doing some step work you can get in touch with your spirit. If you don't get in touch with your spirit, because, like, let me share some empathy works in my life where the 7-step allows me to practice empathy. You know what I mean? Because the bottom line, like, when you fall short and I love you and you fall short and it's hurting me, empathy reminds me, how about when you used to fall short and you wanted somebody to love you? I'm talking about on a deeper level, right? I'm talking about like, an incident happened was that my wife was tired of the relationship. She couldn't come to grips with telling me, but she was about to text her lover or whoever he was, and the text message came to me. Whoa. Talking about, I love you too, I miss you, and I'm going to spend more time with you, I promise. Only by a direct result of doing some work, empathy says, Z, remember when you was there and you was not showing her the love that she so wanted? Oh, because you did a couple of more steps now, right? You got to the exact nature of why you wasn't showing the love. And now you want to apply the love to her. She's not ready. Thank God for the 11th step. Well. like they said, through more prayer, right? The pain is not as intense, right? Empathy allowed me to say, you know what? Listen, if that's what you want, listen. I wish the best for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, misery loves company, man. I started group consciousness with myself for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to call nobody. I went through a group conscious with myself. And I said, like, I like, what are you going to do now? Fly ass dude, you. Where's your 12? Like, what step do you pull out? Right? You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line was, like, you know what I'm saying? Empathy allowed me to say, like, remember when you was there. You know the bad thing about this program is, like, literature talks about we was at least two individuals, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, right? They always fighting for the stage, right? I know when I got here, I had a lot of masks because I did a 5th step. And shit, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Mrs. Hyde. It was a little bit of everybody, right? Because I was a chameleon that turned into whoever you wanted me to be. If you were Jamaican, white, and boy, McComb, you know what? You was Puerto Rican? Que tú tienes ahí, pana? You know what? Listen. So inside the program, you're talking about wanting to be a part of, man. And so I had these masks, and like when I caught the ephes, right? And so my sponsor said, be careful when you catch the ephes, right? Because it's an image that you have to protect now. Because even if you don't want to do it, you have to do it now, because I already said I don't care. So I can't now let it down now because I don't put the front back on. And it's so hard to protect, man. It takes more work on that. And as a direct result of having self-pity, it says self-pity is the worst destructive defect we can deal with because it draws you up all your energy. You know what I'm saying? Because now it's based on self-will. They said, well, now it's based on self-will. Your decisions are now based on manipulation, ego, lust, and false pride. And when I get caught up in that, empathy goes out the door. I can't feel for another human being. Because it gets back to what the literature says about our spiritual condition. We become totally self-centered. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like how the sun and the nine planets are like all the planets depend on the sun. So that's how everything around me becomes like that now. So like empathy is very essential in my life today because I need that. Because sometimes like, especially when I get these sponsees that don't want to do the work and just keep calling me back with the same problem and I keep giving the same suggestions and so forth and so on. You know what I'm saying? And like empathy lessens. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you said it, I got a life too, and I got issues of my own, you know what I'm saying? And I have so much empathy, sometimes your problem becomes my problem. And that's not the purpose of empathy, you know what I'm saying? It's just for me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you, and let you know I know what it's like to feel like that. So now, don't call me about the halfway house that you're in. What feeling are you going through? So I can help you identify your feeling, because I know, like, by direct result of coming here, everything, like you said, was effed up. I don't care what it was. Got to a fourth step. I learned to identify my feelings now. So now, if you tell me what you're going through, hopefully I can share my experience with you is like how it made me feel. You know what I'm saying? That's what we talk about. We don't compare our story. You try to identify with the feeling. You know what I'm saying? So empathy today, it allows me to do that, male or female. You know, today, like, I know my motives. And like, I'm going to tell you, and I'll be honest, because I always get to the exact nature. They're not always on the right page. They're not always on the right page. Because even coming down here, listen, this is my first out of New York convention, and I'm saying I'm about to lay it down. That's where I was. Yo, I got to be honest. Yo, we pulled up to the hotel. I said, oh, they got an addict like me on the beach. I said, yo, it's on. I said, listen, I got to look. Yo, coming here, I got some things. I got the convertible outside. I said, yo, Small C, I love my Small C. He rode up here with me, right? And I said, yo, we about to go find a car wash. We going to drop the top. You know what I'm saying? Look, you got the dreads. I'm the bald head. You know what I'm saying? Look. You know, I said, listen. I said it was on, you know what I mean? But listen, man, this program is awesome, man. You know what I'm saying? Like it was funny because, like, thank God for sponsorship. Sponsorship is the heart of this program, man. And like I was reading the literature, like in the fourth step IP pamphlet, it talks about being in a spiritual coma. And I believe that's a direct result of not having a sponsor. You know what I mean? And the analogy that I give, because I've seen people misquoted sometimes talking about like sponsorship is the backbone, is not the backbone. The trusted servants are the backbone of the group. You know what I'm saying? And if you think about it physically, you can live without a backbone. But who you see walking around without a heart? You know what I'm saying? And that's by the direct result of me educating myself. I know that now. You know? But yeah, and I hear that. You know what I'm saying? And like as a member of Nakaza Namas that I truly believe in the literature, like, you know what I'm saying? Some people is just not they're not confrontable. Like, you know what I'm saying? It says like sometimes the time, clean time, becomes your worst enemy. Especially when you get complacent in this program. You know, because now you don't forget the literature because you like it's a repetitious program, so you got to continuously repeat it. So like it becomes part of you. But when you stop doing it, you'll find yourself you ain't shared a long time. Now you sharing and you up there talking about, yeah, I told my sponsees that sponsorship is the backbone of the program. And somebody come to share with you this and that. The dude tried to beat me up. He went to find the literature because you know they got the revised pamphlet now. It's a little changed this and that. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, I keep all my literature. I got my first pamphlet work, man. I remember when I didn't say I was an addict and then I did IP7. And they had 29 questions about, you know what I'm saying, different aspects. And like, out of 29, I answered 28 yes. And they said, if you only answer one yes, you might be in the right place. You know? But like I was trying to help the brother, you know what I'm saying? And then he said, yo, no, I'm going to show you this and that. And I'm just like, you talking about self-arrogance. There's no room in here for that. There's no room in here. There's like, there's room for the recovering addict or manifestation of a recovering addict. Right? There's a difference between an addict and a recovering addict, right? My sponsor shared with me one time. He says, listen, Z, if I sit you in a pigeon coop, right, that don't make you a pigeon, right? So he says, like, just because you sitting here is not to offend anybody. I hope it will challenge you. It doesn't make you a recovering addict. And I'm only sharing this from my experience because I remember saying that my name is AZ. I'm in the process of recovery until I got that dictionary. And it says process is something that's ongoing. And recovery is about change. You know what I'm saying? Like before you can change who you're not, you have to find out who you're really not. Right? Like, if you haven't done the fifth step, you really don't know who you are. I know, because for me, when I came in here, I had a lot of different other masks. You know what I'm saying? By somebody sharing the experience, strength, and hope with me through empathy, it made me say, you know what? I want some of that freedom, man. They're talking about being happy, joyous, and free. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about from a drug. I'm talking about, for like it says, drugs enslaved us, but then we come in here, we put down a drug, and we enslave ourselves because, like, we want to make ourselves indifferent. You know what I mean? Because, like, I know, I came here, I was dressing up the outside. I had 5 gold fronts. I had gold, yes, I did. Gold rings on my fingers. You know what I'm saying? And every Friday, I made one meeting a week for about 6 years. Almost, no, I'm lying. About 5 years. And then, like the pain outweighed the pleasure. No, the pain outweighed the pain. Let me get honest, right? Because I'm talking about taking burning desires and going out and acting out off the burning desire right after taking it. Just to come back the following week to say it again. And what happens is, like, I got tired of hearing me say it. I can imagine what the group did. You know what I'm saying? I got tired of hearing me say it, and then I did something, and I started finding out about this empathy started really hitting me now. You know what I'm saying? Where I started hearing other men share some stuff that I thought I would never share. You know what I'm saying? I said, damn, he could do it. Listen, I know I can do this. You know what I mean? And I started getting into the work. I thought she was giving me the high sign. Not yet? All right, let's get some more literature out of the way then, right? Here we go. Okay, here's some more good stuff. Check it out, right? The literature said it. I said it, right? But now I'm going to show you where the literature said it, right? It says, many of us did the same thing when we were new. So when we work with others, we try not to do or say anything that would give them an excuse to continue using. We know that honesty and empathy are essential. Complete surrender is the key to recovery, and total absence is the only thing that has ever worked for us. In our experience, no addict who has completely surrendered to this program has ever failed to find recovery. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the bottom line is, like, we need empathy, man. Without empathy, we're going to be in trouble because empathy says identification. That's the key hit right there. It's the identification because, like, if we don't identify, I believe two things happen in here, right? You either change or you leave or you stay in here and suffer. Like I know what it's like to be spiritually, like bankrupt with some things in here. And it says, like, the spiritual foundations is the basis for our recovery, right? And if you don't have that, it's going to be hard for you to stay here because you're not going to be able to identify because you're going to constantly be sitting there trying to compare. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we come in here looking for a reason not to stay. I know I did. Because when I got part of service, right, I sat inside a business meeting. First, I read the group booklet, right? And I said, okay, I'm going to see if the chairperson doing their job. I want to see if the co-chair doing their job. The secretary, the GSR. And that's why I sat there. But you know what, son? You stay here long enough, now constant knowledge will take a hold of you. Because I'm talking about, I wanted to empathize doing step work, right? I got into some step work only because when you shared on the first step, I wanted to be able to have something to say. But what happened was that ain't happened. Like, when I did my first step, you know what I'm saying, that emptiness came, you know what I'm saying, because it started working on me without my permission, man. You know what I'm saying, and then that void came, you know what I'm saying, I said, what, I'm powerless? I said, who, me, that was always thought I was in control of my relationships and all that? Or it was just the fact that they just had low self-esteem and they needed me to validate them, that's all it was? I really was not in control? No. Stop. Stop playing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when that happened, they said the only thing that would fix my first step would be a second step. You know what I'm saying? Talking about getting to that spiritual void that I consistently try to put tangible items inside the guard box. We got a guard box, right? Y'all know, right? You ever chase lust? Do it ever get filled? No, right? I get you today. Tomorrow, I'm going to get it in 2 hours. Get it in 2 hours, and I'm going to get it in an hour. And that shit is never filled. Just like that hit, we get high once. The rest is just using. You know what I'm saying? People think they go back out there and research. I heard somebody say the other day, we don't go back to research, we go back and suffer. How can you research something that's done been researched for a long time ago and there was no cure to that? You know? But yeah, man, and during the second step, man, I was able to get in contact with a higher power, man. You know what I'm saying? And like it said, I had a lack of relationship with God. But all along, like, God started working through people to let me know, like, it was possible for me too. We're talking about the hope, meaning, like, the acronym saying, like, hearing other people's experience, right? It allowed me to believe, like, even if I didn't believe in the moment, I believe that you believe. You know what I'm saying? And like, hope came even greater for me. I remember my first convention, I think I had about 3 years clean, and I went to the New York convention, and the main meeting was there. They started calling out the states. And as soon as they said Hawaii, and somebody raised their hand, that was enough for me. I said, we talking about you in a 6-hour time zone somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? That was enough for me. And then ever since then, I've been doing service since June 20th, 1998. And I consistently do service. You know what I'm saying? Because that allows me to apply my empathy to the program. You know what I mean? Like, I remember before, I always wanted to sound profound. And today, I just want my clean time to be profound. You know, somebody told me, like the longer we stay here, the more we have to do. And I truly believe that. You know what I mean? Because I see in my area, a lot of members is going out with substantial clean time. You know what I mean? And it's by a direct result becoming complacent. It says, like, once you find an NA way, complacency and boredom, is there's no room for that in here. There's no room. No? Give me some more hits right quick. Okay, here we go. Oh, here we go. Off the hook. Here we go, right here. It says, our willingness to make amends, so this is some 8 steps, some 12 step stuff now, and it works on why. He says, our search for recovery was no longer focused on what we could get out of it for ourselves. We saw beyond the confines of our own lives, right? Talking about empathy now, our own lives and our efforts in recovery began to be more generous. We developed the ability to feel empathy for others. You know, that's 12 step stuff right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, in order to do that, man, like, we have to do the work, man, because it's going to be hard to have empathy if you don't do the work. I think it's possibly impossible, right? Because being that we're perfectly imperfect, right? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with striving for perfection. Just know that you're never going to get there. You know what I'm saying? And in doing that, as you do that, you allow yourself to be able to help somebody else. Because there's somebody else that's want to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? That says there's no role model for the recovering addict. You know what I'm saying? But we have some people that they look up to us, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of times, like, I feel bad in some of my areas, you know what I'm saying? Where it's that, like, they take newcomers and throw them in a position, but then don't show them how to do the position, and then complain about they not doing it right. I mean, like, what part of the game is that? Where was your empathy when you got here? Somebody showed you. You know what I mean? Like that word evolution is so bad inside Narcotics Anonymous. It's ridiculous, man. Because of evolution, because, like, just recently, like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to know more about the program, so I went to my region, and I bought some literature, and I bought the timeline, right? And the first literature came out in 1953. It was, like, 3 pamphlets, right? And it evolved since then. You know what I mean? And it seems like the more literature we get, and it seems like where I come from, like, the older members is not doing the service that they were doing. They got members with 2 and 3 years holding down commitments for 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years. So seventh tradition says we got to do our fair share. You know what I'm saying? 12 steps are about we only can keep it unless we give it away. You know what I'm saying? So how are you giving it away now? You know what I'm saying? Where's your empathy? You know what I'm saying? Where's the, like how do you used to take them to coffee shops that I used to hear about and stuff like that? You know what I mean? You'll see, like, the empathy. I see addicts, like, anytime I see somebody standing alone, I go over there. You know what I'm saying? I see other members, they clicking up and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't got 10 years, you can't stand with us or something like that. What part of the game is that? Where's the empathy? You know what I'm saying? Where's the love and the compassion that you're supposed to have for the other recovering addict? You know? So it's getting dangerous, man. All right. Got some more stuff here. All right, here we go. Some more tradition 12, right? It talks about, and here we go, these guys that get professional, call them 12 steppers, right? It says, this same principle of selfless anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our 8th tradition. In Narcotics Anonymous, we have no professional 12 steppers. Rather, we use the simple language of empathy to freely share with one another the spiritual experience we call recovery. You know what I mean? Just like she shared about it, you know, so just because you get something under your belt, you don't become better than. You're not superior to nobody in here. Anonymity says there's no big odds of you. Somebody shared, like, one shot, we all shot. You know what I mean? And then the bottom line, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have to stay vigilant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm back to the basics, man. I'm on a second of 90-90. With 10 years clean, I'm on a 90-90. You know what I mean? Because, like, I want to stick to the basics. Like, my book says it. Where is that? Basic, not big. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about anybody else's disease. My disease would take my strength and tell me they're my weaknesses. And tell me that my weaknesses are my strengths. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like just part of the hope, man. Let me just share part of my hope, right? When I got here, right, I had a GED, right? Through empathy and other individuals sharing how they went back to school and all of that, right? With 37 days, I almost died, right? I had an aneurysm. It ruptured, right? I was in treatment. And I had brain surgery, and then the surgery was successful. I was in the hospital for 12 days. That was synonymous to me for 12 steps to 12 traditions, right? God said, listen, that's not enough for you. Even though you turned your life around, you're ready to do something different. He says, I'm going to give you a vote. I guess that was a vote for me. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I'm sitting in the hospital with my head swelled up like this and staples going through my head. And I sat in the hospital for 12 days, was able to reflect on active addiction. You know what I'm saying? All the things I've been through, the gunplay and all that. And like it talked about, like I don't get into the war story, but short and simple, right? It talks about in the fourth step how we live fantasy in reverse, right? In fantasy, I thought in fantasy, I thought I was Nino Brown. In reality, I was Pookie. All right? So we don't want to get it twisted, right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I thought. I didn't sell kilos or none of that. I didn't do none of that. So, sitting in the hospital for 12 days, I was able to reflect on that. So, coming out of there, like, I was still in treatment, I was on parole, I maxed out and all of that. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous with a GED, and I became a medical assistant while in treatment. Right? And then, since I've been here, I acquired a bachelor's degree in business administration and a master's degree in public administration. Right? I got the same state that gave me 93A5066, gave me a private teacher's license for preparatory school and a full business teacher's license, and I'm about to get a full trade license in about another 3 weeks. Right? Empathy from other addicts already that's done it. So empathy says, like, to get with somebody that already did it. Like, if you want that house, don't be ashamed to walk up to the individual and ask them, how did you do that? You know what I mean? Like I'm not jealous of not near another any of y'all. Right? Because I want what y'all have. And if you're doing it like somebody filed chapter 7, I wanted to know how to do that too. Right? Listen, I had no problem. Because I got some credit cards and my life became unmanageable. You know? And that's what happened though, man. But you know, by a direct result of like sitting back, right? I don't sit in the front just here. If you come anywhere, I'm at the, if I'm in the back, it's because I was running late or something like that. But I sit in the front. You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm new, but I want to keep my recovery fresh. So if I'm sitting up in the front, I ain't got to worry about what's going on in the back. You know what I'm saying? Because like I think a lot of the like heartfelt message for me is sitting in the front. You know what I mean? Because like we talking about that wordless language, right? That deals with the heart, right? Like I can feel somebody's spirit today. You know what I mean? Like you can see the addict that get up there and all they want to do is just sound like they're talking good and all that, and they want to dazzle thee with the tongue. But my spirit would know if you're full of mess or not. You know what I mean? Because I, too, talk the talk before I learn to walk the walk. You know what I mean? Like I was good with hearing what Shirley, I would take your stuff. I got some of that stuff you said, but I would let them know where it came from this time. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, yo, listen, you dropped some hints, man. Like, almost, that's what's up, boy. Wait till I get back to New York, I'll say, listen, kid. You know what I'm saying? But as you know, though, like when we talk about sharing our experience, strength, and hope, it's no different than the collective addicts that got together and put this book together.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because don't nothing we say up here unique.
That's right.
It ain't unique. There's nothing unique. You know what I mean? And about love. But I do got one thing that I think is mine, right? Look. I need to copyright this right here because y'all can use it if you want to, though, right? Look. But check it out, right?
Okay.
You know, the Army talk about you can go there and be all you can be, right? It's a lie.
Okay.
And now Kaiser Namas, you can come here and be all you can be.
Okay.
It's a proven fact.
Okay.
We got people with PhDs, masters, all types of stuff. And we even still got criminals in here.
Yeah.
Well, we call them ambulance chasers and stuff like that. But I'm saying, look, you can still be all you can be. By a direct result of surrendering, you know what I'm saying? This says, lost dreams are awakened, a new possibility arises. I remember talking about going to college in junior high school, and I got diverted, right? At the age of 31, I ended up back in college. It happens here. You know what I mean? And I'll close with this, like for me, right? My empathy is based on three individuals now, right? I keep a newcomer in my life, whether I'm sponsoring him or not, because it allows me to practice the 12 step and allows it to stay vigilant that like things are not getting better out there. I keep somebody that's struggling like me. It ain't got nothing to do with clean time. I hear what you sharing and I say I'm in that same place because I need to know that I'm not unique. Because, you know, we'll go through something and think we the only one. That's how we got here. Thinking, oh, I'm the only one been through this. Go jump right back into self-pity and we unique all over again. We have one thing that's unique. That's our disease. Right? And then I keep more experienced members than me in my life. Especially a sponsor. Somebody that I can share a fifth step with. Because no sooner as I think I'm not teachable, I become unreachable. And then now I'm closed-minded again. They say you can't grasp a new idea on a closed mind. You know, so if you knew, you're coming back. If you're in a space, third step talks about it like, you know what I'm saying? The key, people believe in that step, is open-minded, is willingness to surrender. It says you're no longer fighting depression, self-pity, remorse, and all those other things. So like, you don't have to be in that space, man. They said the 12 steps will stop you from committing suicide. Traditions will stop you from committing homicide. I ain't know what that meant back then. But I'm telling you, this program works. We don't have to be in them uncomfortable situations anymore. Like, life ain't promised to get better around us. But we'll get better with learning how to deal with life. My name is AZ. Thank you for letting me share.